Morning's reading is going to be from 1 Kings 13. 1 Kings 13. Give you a minute to turn there. I was thinking before I came up to read how profound this story is. The Spirit and His wisdom says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." If I was to put it my way, I'd say, "Listen up, this is important." 1 Kings 13, verses 1 through 10, I'm reading. "And behold, a man of God went forth from Judea to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, 'O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you. And men's bones shall be burned on you.' And he gave a sign that same day, saying, 'This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out.' So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, 'Arrest him.' Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, 'Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me.' So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, 'Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward.' But the man of God said to the king, 'If you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, You shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came.' So he went another way and did not return by the way that he came to Bethel."
"Now there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel, whose sons came and told him all that the man of God had done there that day. They also told their father what he had said to the king. Their father asked them, 'Which way did he go?' And the sons showed him which the road that the man of God had Judah had taken. So he said to his sons, 'Saddle the donkey for me.' And when they had saddled the donkey for him, he mounted it and rode after the man of God. He found him sitting under an oak tree and asked him, 'Are you the man of God who came from Judah?' 'I am,' he replied. So the prophet said to him, 'Come home with me and eat.' The man of God said, 'I cannot turn back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water either, or return by the way you came.' The old prophet answered, 'I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel said to me by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. But he was lying to him. So the man of God returned with him and ate bread and drank water in his house."
"And as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back, and he cried to the man of God who came from Judah, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the command that the Lord your God commanded you, but have come back and have eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your body shall not come to the tomb of your fathers.' And after he had eaten bread and drunk, he saddled the donkey for the prophet, which he had brought back. And as he went away, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown in the road, and the donkey stood beside it. The lion also stood beside the body. And behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown in the road and the lion standing by the body. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet lived. And when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard of it, he said, 'Is it the man of God who disobeyed the word of the Lord? Therefore the Lord has given him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word that the Lord spoke to him.' So he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me," and they saddled it. And he went and found his body thrown in the road, and the donkey and the lion standing beside the body. The lion had not eaten the body or torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the body of the man of God and laid it on the donkey and brought it back to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid the body in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And after he had buried him, he said to his sons, "When I die, bury me in the grave in which the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying that he called out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places that are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass." After this thing, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way, but made priests of the high places again from among all the people. Any who would, he ordained to be priests of the high places. And this thing became sin to the house of Jeroboam, so as to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth.
We're glad that you're here today. Thank you for your presence. And thank you to those who just read to us from this passage in 1 Kings 13 that we're going to be focusing on just a moment. Now, for some of you, this is familiar territory. For some of you, this may not be. Let's explain just a little bit about the background of this particular passage before we get into the text. There had been three kings over what is described as the United Kingdom of Israel: Saul, David, and Solomon. Solomon's end days were not good as he married women whose heart turned his heart away. And God said that he was going to take many of the tribes away from Solomon's son. What happens in the days of Rehoboam, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, king of Israel, the kingdom is divided. The kingdom is divided. What was once one kingdom has now become two kingdoms. Rehoboam is a descendant of David. In Jerusalem, they have the temple to worship at. What does Jeroboam have? Jeroboam is afraid that the people in his kingdom are going to defect to the south. He's afraid they will go to the house of David. And so he sets up his own religion at Dan in Bethel, where he has golden calves that are worshipped. He makes priests of all the lowest of the people. And he has a feast on the 18th day of the fifth month and said, "This is the time that you need to worship." Now, all of these deviate from what God has said in the law. This may be what we're about to study, may have been opening day at this particular golden calf. I get that from the end of chapter 12, verse 33, to the opening of 12, verse 1. Let's just read those verses. "Then he went up to the altar which he made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, even the month which he had devised in his own heart, and he instituted a feast for the sons of Israel, and went up to the altar to burn incense. Now behold, there came a man of God from Judah by the word of the Lord while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense." What I'm trying to say is there doesn't seem to be any real chapter division there. We had three men that ably read that text just a moment ago. It's always good to set the text before us. I'm going to try to relate the account of this particular text. As we have said before, and Lord willing, we'll say again, if in any way I deviate from the original telling of the text, I'm likely to omit something, or I'm likely to add what I think is a reason for something, but always follow the text. That's the main thing that we're seeking to focus. I'm simply trying to set the story before us and to draw a couple of lessons from it. So Jeroboam is the king of Israel, and Jeroboam has a golden calf in Bethel. And God sends a man of God, which is another name for a prophet, a man of God from Judah, from Rehoboam's kingdom, to come here to Jeroboam's altar and to cry against it. And he cries against the altar. And he says, O altar, there is going to be a king born to the house of David by the name of Josiah, who will one day burn the bones of priests upon this altar. There's no better way to defile an altar than to burn human remains on it, human bones. And that's what this son of David, Josiah, is going to do. And as a sign of that, this altar is going to split apart and its ashes are going to pour out. When Jeroboam hears all of this, it sounds like treason. And he stretches forth his arm and said, "Arrest him." But when he stretches out his arm, he can't draw it back. In the meantime, the altar is split apart and all the ashes are poured out, just like the man of God said. Jeroboam's tone to the man of God changes. And he said, "Entreat the Lord for me that my hand may be restored." He said, "Entreat the Lord your God for me that my hand may be restored." And he prays for him, and his hand is restored. Now the king has a certain gratitude for this man who's prayed for his hand, and his hand's been restored. He said, "Come home with me, and I will give you a reward." And the man of God says, "If you were to give me half your house, I cannot come home with you. Because I have been commanded by the word of the Lord not to eat bread or drink water in this place, nor return by the same way I came." So he says this, and he leaves and goes another way. Now, apparently, this opening day at Jeroboam's golden calf was a big attraction. And many people had come from far and wide. You say, "How do I know that?" I know that because you see in verse 11 that there are some who had witnessed all of this who are reporting to an old prophet in town what had happened. This man has sons, and his sons come back and they say, "Dad, you should have been there today. There was a prophet of God from Judah who cried against Jeroboam's altar. And he said the altar is going to be torn apart and the ashes are going to be poured out. And Jeroboam reached out his hand to arrest him, and his hand dried up, and the altar was torn apart and the ashes spilled out. And Jeroboam prayed for him and his hand is restored." And he said, "Which way did the man of God go?" And they told him the way. He gets on his donkey. He said, "Saddle up my donkey." And they saddle it up. And he begins riding. The man of God seems to be traveling on foot. Now, you can tell me if I'm omitting something or I'm forgetting something. Because later it does say, verse 23. Verse 23, he saddled the donkey for him. First mistake, follow the word. Why did I say that all of a sudden? Okay. But anyway, this man, the old prophet, let's come back to reality here. The old prophet is pursuing the man of God, who is never specifically called young in the text. He may have been, but the other man is called old. And the old prophet says, when he sees a man under a tree that he doesn't recognize, "Are you the man of God from Judah?" And he says, "Yes, I am." He said, "Come home with me and eat and drink with me." And he said, "I cannot, for the word of the Lord commanded me that I'm not to eat bread, I'm not to drink water in this place, nor return but the way that you came." Return the way I came. And the old prophet says, "I am a prophet like you. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord. And he said to bring you home with me to eat." But the Bible says, chilling words, but he lied to him. And the man of God from Judah goes back with the old prophet. They're eating together. They're eating and drinking in the old prophet's house. And this time, a real message of God comes in his mouth. A real message of God says to him, "Because you have disregarded the word of the Lord, and you have eaten bread and drank water in this place, your body will not return to the land of your forefathers. You will not be buried in the land where your fathers are buried." And after they had eaten and drank, the old prophet saddles up the man of God's donkey. And on the way, after leaving, he is struck by a lion and killed. But it is an amazing sight, because the lion does not strike the donkey, and it does not eat either the man or the donkey. And the lion and the donkey and the dead body of the man of God are all right there together. And this is such an amazing sight that they have to tell it in the town. And they come to the town and they tell the people, "Listen what we saw. Can you believe it? There was a lion that had killed a man. He was riding upon a donkey. It had killed a man. And the donkey was not bothered. The lion did not eat the body. He did not maul the donkey." And the old prophet says, "It's the man of God from Judah, who he describes as one who disobeyed the word of the Lord. He tells his sons, 'Saddle my donkey.' And when he goes to the man, he sees the body, and indeed it is the man of God, just like he said, just like he believed. He takes the body, he puts the body on the donkey. And when he gets to his tomb, he mourns, he laments. He says, 'Alas, my brother,' and takes him and buries him in his own tomb. He gives his sons instruction: 'When I die, bury me beside him, because I know that every word that he has spoken against the altar in Bethel will come true. And after all of this, Jeroboam did not turn from his idolatry, but he continued to make priests of the lowest of the people. He continued to make priests of the lowest of the people. And this event led to the destruction of Jeroboam. Now, that account raises several questions, which you are free to ask afterwards if we don't answer them in the course of the lesson. It raises questions. You're free to ask them. I don't know that I'll have good answers to all of them. I would say that Jeroboam appears at the first of the chapter, and he appears at the end of the chapter. And I really believe all these events that happened to the man of God from Judah, to the older prophet, all of this and all the questions that leaves us with, I think ultimately this was a warning to Jeroboam, you better turn away from the direction that you're going, from the course that you're on. You better turn away from this, these golden calves at Dan in Bethel, and making priests of the lowest of the people, and worshiping the calves instead of the God who saved you from Egypt. But he doesn't listen. But I think this account leaves us with questions, because we look at the man in 1 Kings 13, and certainly he is a noble character. He is a brave man. Have you ever had to go and take on a whole crowd and stand up against everybody in the room and say, you're wrong, you're wrong, and this is where I stand? Not only is this man of God doing this, it's an outdoor setting, but not only is this man of God doing this type of thing, but he's doing this kind of thing against a king who has royal authority. A king is not going to look for a system of checks and balances as to what he can do. He's going to bring his full wrath against you by speaking out like this man did. And indeed, that's what Jeroboam tried to do as he stretched forward his hand and said, arrest him. But this man of God from Judah, an outsider, and that only adds to the tension, is willing to make this journey to come to Bethel to cry out against the altar. It reminds me of another prophet from Judah who came to Bethel to cry out against the altar, and who was opposed by a king and his people. And by the way, another king by the name of Jeroboam, one that we call Jeroboam the second, because he was actually the second one to set upon the throne of Israel by that name. I'm talking about Amos 7, verses 10 through 17. In Amos 7, Amos says, I was not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but I was a herdsman, and I was a gatherer of sycamore figs. But the Lord told me to go and prophesy against Israel, and I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I'm speaking his words. But this man was courageous. This man was brave. This man stood up against the crowd, and this man said, this is not right, when he knew he would not get a welcome reception for that. And something else about this man, he was sincere. He was sincere. The king said, after his hand was restored, he said, come home with me and I will give you a reward. And the man says, if you were to give me half your house, I couldn't go home with you. because God told me not to. Half your house. That is just a picture of enormous generosity. To give someone half your house. You remember the way that the king said it to Esther. I will give you up to half my kingdom in Esther 5. And you see Herod in the New Testament saying the same thing to his stepdaughter. Whatever you ask, I'll give it to you up to half the kingdom. But here the man of God said, if you invite me to your house, I cannot go if you were to give me half your house. Now, why do I say he is sincere? It may be, not only is it a blessing to enjoy a good meal, a blessing to enjoy a royal meal, no doubt that was a great gift within itself, but also he is promised a reward, he is promised a gift, he is promised to be given something in addition to his meal. Now, remember how this played on Balaam in Numbers 22? When Balaam heard that Balak, king of Moab, had invited him to come curse Israel, he said, if Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I would not go beyond the word of the Lord to do more or less. But, he says to his messengers, maybe the Lord will change his mind about that. Balaam was covetous, and he wanted the reward so desperately. God ultimately tells him, go anyway. And he goes in disobedience, and his life story unfolds as a disaster. This man wasn't like that. A royal invitation, a promise of a gift, that wasn't what moved him. Because the Lord commanded that I'm not to eat bread or drink water in this place. Maybe eating bread or drinking water was a kind of fellowship with these people and an endorsement of their idolatrous worship. And God says, don't do it. And I want to tell you, not only did he do that in front of the spotlight when everybody was watching, but he wanted to do the same thing on a quiet road when there was nobody else watching except the old prophet and himself. I can imagine if this had happened in our day, that there would have been all kind of media there, snapping pictures, writing stories, telling about this man of God. But that wasn't what he was interested in. Because when he's met on a road by a man who says, are you the man of God from Judah? And he says, come home and eat bread with me. The man of God responds, no. He gives the same answer that he'd given before. He wasn't giving this response for the crowd or for attention. He was giving it out of conviction that it was right. And yet this man, who we so admire, ends up a fatality in this story because he was deceived, because he was lied to. In 1 Kings 13 and verse 18, the old prophet, notice he's called the old prophet in verse 11. And in verse 18, he introduces himself to the man of God from Judah by saying, I am a prophet like you. I'm a prophet like you. This man had the credentials. He could show where he had graduated their prophetic school. And he could show them his credentials and these things. And even in this text, some of the things that he says comes true. Not only does he have the status to back it up, but in verses 21 and 22, he's going to get a real piece of prophecy that he's going to announce by, this is what the Lord says. And in verse 32, he knows all the Lord says has come to pass. And I want to tell you something that really baffles me in this story. He even cared for this man. He cared for this man he deceived. Maybe he so desperately wanted to meet him. Maybe he felt embarrassed that he hadn't publicly taken a stand against Jeroboam's altar. He is so proud of this young man of God who's spoken the word of God. He wants to really meet him. And then when he dies, he takes him and buries him and mourns for him and asks one day that his sons bury him beside this man, which in 2 Kings 23 is exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. I know people ask the question, of these two characters, the old prophet seems less noble than the man of God. Why does it record his being killed by the lion and not the one who deceived him, who lied to him? I don't know the answers to that. But I can't imagine either that if he truly admired this man, he admired him, he wanted to meet him and talk to him, and he knew that his lie had cost his life. I can't imagine the burden of guilt that he bore because of that. He was a prophet. He sometimes spoke God's message. He even sincerely seems to care for him. How could he have not been deceived? You know how he could have avoided it? Because he had a previous word from God on the subject. In verse 9, he knew it and he stated it. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way which you came. That is re-emphasized in verse 17. There was a command given by the word of the Lord to eat no bread, to drink no water, and do not return by the way which you came. In verse 21, the old prophet rebuked the man of God because you've disobeyed the command of the Lord. And when he hears the news of what happens, the old prophet says in verse 26, it is the man of God, therefore, It is a man of God who disobeyed the command of the Lord. This is warning us. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you follow. Be careful to who you let get your ear. And I want to tell you here, I have got a lot of sympathy for a confused world, because in some areas, we're all confused. Okay, how many of you older people like me remember that day they were telling us, don't you eat any eggs and don't you eat any butter. You better eat this good, healthy margarine. And how many of us did that thinking all the time we are so healthy, only to find out they got all those things wrong? What I'm saying is, in every area of life, we're bombarded with things pulling at us, informing us how wrong we were, how much we need to change. That happens in every area. And sometimes we don't know who to believe or whether it's worth the effort to find out. Let me give you a stat. 100% of people who eat margarine and 100% of people who eat butter die. Fact check me on that if you want. We live in a day where the concept of truth isn't popular. So to warn about being deceived by error will not be a popular message. But I want you to see something else. While there is a way to look at a message from this text, and we just preach from the text, there's a way to look at this message as negative. It's warning us. Be careful who you listen to. Don't listen to these words, that words. Yes, it is all of that. But I will say too, it is a positive message to tell us what to listen to. What to listen to pay attention to. As Tim led us in songs just a moment ago, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting my soul, converting the soul. How shall a young man guard his heart? By taking heed according to your word. Psalm 119. It is a positive message for where we can look. In Nehemiah 8, as Phil was teaching in our class this morning that a few of you younger people were in Numbers 8, as the Bible talks about the people gathered together as one man and they read from the book of the law from morning till midday, and it causes sorrow when they realize how they've sinned. It causes rejoicing when they realize what a great blessing it is they have the word. My friend, we have a great blessing here. And we must give earnest heed to its message. We must listen closely to his word. Several years ago, there was a man who was visiting us. He'd actually visit someone else in the congregation that I was preaching. And he was at services with us on Sunday morning. And we brought him home with us for lunch on Sunday afternoon. And he said something that I hope I always remember. And I hope that you also remember. We were talking about our service that we had had that morning in our Bible class, in our worship. And he said, on Sunday mornings, as I go throughout Africa, I go preaching the word. And he says, I will preach at several different places. And there are several that will gather with me to listen to me preach. But he said, I could not find anyone in my country to have what is your equivalent of Bible class. He said they weren't interested in looking that deeply. And there were almost stars in his eyes as he thought about the wonderful opportunity we have to gather together on the first day of the week and on various weeknights and to just take the Bible and read the Bible and study the Bible. And we may disagree on what it says here, and you may say, oh, it says this, and you say, no, it says that. But the reason we're doing it is because we view these words as so precious, as so important. And in the midst of a world where some are trying to point us in every kind of direction, away from God and away from His Word, we want to come back to this Word. We want to read it, find out what God wants of us, and we want to live it. So yes, it is a message that warns us of what we must avoid, but it's a positive message. That tells us the beauty of what we have. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, how blessed we are, how gracious you are. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for revealing yourself in your word and your way. And Lord, there are people who will seek to deceive us, even people who think they have our best interest at heart. But help us to stick to you, to stick to your word, to be your people, to have you as our God. Hold us in your hand and bring us home to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, Tim's going to lead us in a song to invite you, if we can help you to make your life right with God. And we don't simply make out a detailed list of regulations and say, you do this to satisfy us. We're simply trying to study Scripture and see what those people did with God's approval and seeking to listen to them. If we can help you to follow Jesus, if you need to repent and be baptized for remission of sins, and we can talk with you about that more further, we'd be glad to help you as we stand and as we sing.